it's fair to say that there's a period of American history that we as Americans don't always feel comfortable addressing, the period when slavery was the law of the land in this country. And when we do talk about it, we're not always getting it right.
Our next guest says that as a nation, we haven't done enough to educate ourselves about the institution and the reality of slavery. In a new article, she makes the case that we need a national museum dedicated to slavery in America, telling the story, the history, and its long-lasting effects.
Joining us now is Sarah Fanning, assistant professor of history at Texas Women's University. She recently wrote a piece called The United States Needs a Slavery Museum for Pacific Standard. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So we have museums in the country that deal with other difficult parts of American history. Why would you say a museum for slavery has been overlooked?
Well, I think it's because of the emotional and historic guilt, I believe, the United States feels about slavery and our role in this institution. And the issues are so fraught, I believe, that even if I bring this topic up to friends, sometimes they just look at me and they say, well, that's so difficult to talk about. I don't know how you could exhibit something like this in a museum setting. So I think it is just such a difficult topic.
Well, there is the Smithsonian's National Museum about African-American history and culture. Does that sort of get at these issues, or is it not enough?
Well, this museum is slated to open in 2015, and it will look at slavery, and they have exhibits that are planned. I believe they have bought a slave cabin from the South Carolina, and that they are bringing up to put in and have as a permanent exhibit. However, that's only one of many, many other exhibits and shows that they'll be focusing on. And I don't believe that there'll just be enough time, enough space in the actual museum location for slavery to be given the due it deserves in our consciousness and our understanding of American history.
There are other vehicles for teaching American history and educating people about it. And some of these other areas would be film, and we have the schools. Why do we need a museum specifically?
Well, there actually aren't that many sites to study slavery. Richmond, Virginia has made some efforts to push for a slave museum, and they're having a lot of pushback from the mayor there, I believe, who wants to incorporate it into sort of a large commercial and residential complex and just have it as one of many buildings that will be established. And the people in Richmond want to have this historic area that was where the slave trade had existed for 40 years prior to the Civil War. And no, I'm sorry, even longer than that. It started in 1808. And so they want to preserve that history in all of its entirety, looking at the jails, looking at the lawyers' offices, looking at the auction sites. And so that's, that's more than a museum, but they're having a very difficult time in terms of the city council figuring out, which plan is best. But getting back to the question about a museum specifically, there have been exhibits, but none of them have been permanent. And in New York, Historical Society, I think in 2006, did a Slavery in New York exhibit, and then they did a second one called New York Divided, and those were very, very successful, and there's so much interest in this topic, but again, there's not one specific site where people can go, like at a Holocaust museum.
And
there's many of them.
There's also some specific research, isn't there, that people produce more empathy when they see things at a museum?
Yes, yes. And I mean, similar, I think, to how film can, you know, bring emotion out, make you think about, you know, gosh, how would I feel in that situation? Museums can do that and have, you know, an educational component and even a sort of time to reflect as you're there. And so the, you know, museum is a great site to have education, have these discussions, and just bring forth the, you know, the emotions around this topic.
What kinds of holes are there, do you think, in American education about slavery, about the reality of it, that a museum might be able to fill?
Well, first, that recently we've had some, you know, remarks made in the public sphere. There was a congressional candidate, Jim Brown. There's also Walter Block. And then, you know, the most recent is Cliven Bundy. And, you know, there's this perception that, oh, slavery wasn't bad, that, oh, they were well-fed or, and, you know, provided, yes, they had to work. But that's, you know, these are somewhat shocking responses to the history of slavery. There's been, you know, tremendous interest in this at the academic level. You know, at the university level, there's been lots and lots of books written about slavery. And, you know, I'm just looking at one now called American Slavery, and it's in its 10th anniversary edition by Peter Colchin. But for some reason, it has not trickled down into, you know, the primary and secondary. There's a lot of interest in the Holocaust. I would say many public schools will devote a week, maybe even a month, to the studies of the Holocaust. But nothing is really ever said about slavery. And I think it's because there is this, you know, unease. It's a very fraught history.
Well, the Holocaust is certainly difficult to talk about, and yet we have museums dedicated to the Holocaust. Is there something maybe particularly American about slavery, maybe therefore more personal, that makes it more difficult to talk about?
Well, I think that it is, in one way, it's easy to talk about the Holocaust because it didn't happen here. and the second issue is that many people, I'm here in Texas. You know, there are students in my classes. I have them do family history projects, and they come to realize that, wow, my goodness, I had an ancestor that was a slave owner. And many of them feel guilt and shame, and some of them don't even really want to share it with the class. And so there's, I mean, it is very personal at times. And, you know, many people say, well, I wasn't even here. I don't have anything to do with that. And they're not interested in that history. So I think there's kind of those different approaches going on in terms of why there isn't this interest in slavery and the history and experiences.
There are people out there who say that we do have places that are adequate toward addressing slavery. We have Thomas Jefferson's Monticello, we have George Washington's Mount Vernon, Andrew Jackson's The Hermitage, and that those places maybe address some of what you're talking about. But would you say that's true? Do these places get at the history and the horror of slavery the way that some people say they do?
Well, I mean, we spend a lot more time talking about our founding fathers' governing practices than we do their experience of being slave masters. And these are sites where slavery happened. This is where, you know, the violence occurred. And to say that these are adequate is, it's like saying a concentration camp is an adequate space to understand the Holocaust. It's not, and you need a, and a objective space in some ways to reduce the horror in some ways, and to allow people to come to the subject and with an open mind.
We're talking right now with historian Sarah Fanning. She says the United States needs a slavery museum in order to properly address the history of slavery in the country, and a national slavery museum would do that.
We'd like to hear what you think. Do you think this is a good idea? Would you like to see this kind of national museum of American slavery? Do you think the country needs to make more of an effort, a good faith effort, to address the history and long-lasting effects of slavery? Do you think there's a lot that you know that we don't know about slavery in our country's history? You can give a call, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can call in now or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Right now, we're talking with Sarah Fanning, professor of history at Texas Women's University, and she says we need a national museum dedicated to slavery in America, its reality, its history, and its long-lasting effects.
And you can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea? What would you like to see this kind of museum address? How would you like to present these issues? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org.
And we're going to go to our phone lines right now and take a call from Bill calling in Greendale. Hi, Bill.
Hi, everybody. I think it's a great idea. In Milwaukee, there was the Black Holocaust Museum run by James Cameron, who has a remarkable story. I met him in my church, and he was almost lynched. And it was good for me to hear from somebody personally, an African American, and this was during the 20th century. So just kudos to the guest, and I wondered if she had heard about the Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee.
Great. Thank you, Bill. Sarah?
No, I have not heard of that particular museum, but I know that there's one called Least We Forget. It's a Black Holocaust Museum of Slavery that is traveling, and it is based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So that's a traveling Holocaust Museum of Slavery. But no, I haven't heard of this. I'll look it up.
Thank you a lot for that call, Bill. And Sarah, earlier you were talking about some recent opinions that were expressed, a couple people publicly stating, you know, maybe slavery wasn't so bad and the slaves were well cared for and it fueled the economic engine of the country, just to kind of toss a few of the comments out there. And another problem you have that you're hoping the National Slavery Museum, should it happen, would address was the holes left by film. You know, film does educate, but film can also, do the opposite. And you have a problem with Gone with the Wind in particular. What kind of damage do you think that movie has done?
Well, that is the most watched film, I believe, in the history of U.S. film, I believe. And, it's very beautiful cinematically, but the story is, there's the, very faithful slave mother, or, mammy, as they're often called, and she's the one in charge. There's no real indication of the work, except of, the domestic servants. And in fact, three-fourths of most enslaved people worked in the fields. Maybe one-fourth worked in homes or, plantation houses. And so that film just is not an accurate depiction. Thankfully, now we have, 12 Years a Slave, which has come out and is much more accurate in terms of, obviously, the violence and the number of workers that were required to run these plantations and the level of work. I mean, they are building everything in that film. And, that is one of the cases of, yes, the foundations of this country were built on the work of slaves. And I think that film depicts that very, very well.
Let's go back to the phone lines now. We've got Karen, who's joining us in Viroqua. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I think it's a good idea, but I was just wondering if it would encompass indentured servitude as well as the chattel slavery, as the earlier forms of indentured servitude in this country were very much like slavery almost the same thing. And then there's more modern forms like wage slavery and prostitution that exist today. And would those be included in a museum like this?
All right. Thank you, Karen. And Sarah, what about broadening the scope to different kinds of slavery?
Yes. Well, there is, I definitely agree that the history of indentured servitude needs to be included in a National Slavery Museum. And I'm not so sure that modern forms of slavery would fit in my vision of what this slavery museum would be. But there is a place in Cincinnati called the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center that actually does address modern slavery, and they are one of the closest museums that we have to what I could see it being a national slavery museum. They are focused on the stories of those who ran away, the Underground Railroad, and the reason I say this is not a national slavery museum is because their focus is on, you know, Ohio's role in this Underground Railroad. And that was a mostly 19th century history. And as we know, slavery, if the first slaves arrived in the United States, or what will be the United States, in 1619. So, you know, that's a whole other history that's not included. That is often forgotten about. People think slavery is only in the southern United States. It was not. It was everywhere. There was actually a recent op-ed in the New York Times by a historian who's looking at California and African Americans' experiences before the war. And you know, many of them actually were sent back to the South. So this is one of those holes you're asking about in terms of mm-hmm. our understanding. At the educational level, is that slavery, because of the Civil War, was only a Southern institution. It was not.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Karen. And we're going to go next to Curtis in Milwaukee. Hi, Curtis.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm aware of the National Museum of African American History and Culture that's being built currently in Washington, D.C., and I think we need to let that one take form before we start talking about another museum that might attribute itself or be attributed to slavery. I would also be careful of the indentured servant question, because clearly many of the people who were in indenture were not African Americans during the course of some of the history of this country. So I'm one of those that would rely upon the current building of the National Museum in Washington to cover the period of slavery in its fullness, as far as I'm concerned, as opposed to creating a separate museum.
Why do you think that, Curtis? Are you worried that it will distract focus?
I'm involved in an activity that clearly, when it was initiated, it was for the descendants of slaves or descendants of slaves in America, African-American slaves in America. It has now evolved into where it's a major activity relating to white women, all because it's brought under the label of disadvantaged, as opposed to the true history of the people we're talking about.
All right. Well, thank you for the comments, Curtis. And Sarah, what do you think?
Well, in terms of the indentured servitude, I think that's important to understanding the progression of labor in the colonial America, that there were black and white working together in the fields of the Chesapeake, and they were indentured servants. It took time for chattel slavery and the laws surrounding that institution to develop. And so, you know, the idea that we've always had slavery, it was not the case. It developed and progressed over time. And in terms of the Smithsonian National Museum, I was very hopeful as well when I was looking at this museum, and I'm waiting for its opening. And But I was surprised when I read its mission statement, and there's not one discussion or point made about slavery. And I think that should be the mission of such a museum.
And we're going to, I'm sorry, I'm just going to jump in so we can get to one more quick call here before the end. Quinn from Randolph, hi.
Hi there. I think it's a really good idea to have a museum, but I also wanted to point out that I am in eighth grade right now, and the fact that we haven't learned as much about slavery as the Holocaust isn't true. We've learned a lot about slavery, and especially in fifth grade, we watched many films and read many books about how slaves were tortured, raped, and many other things, and we did spend a lot of time on it.
Interesting. Quinn, thank you so much for your perspective there, and we're going to have to leave it with Quinn. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Sarah Fanning, Assistant Professor of History at Texas Woman's University. We've got a link to her piece, The United States Needs a Slavery Museum, on the Central Time Facebook page.